flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Between Jackson and Allen this year, if you picked Allen, I would not blame you in the slightest. I prefer Jackson by the tiniest amount. But you know what it is. If you say, oh, I picked Lamar Jackson, then every single Josh Allen fan thinks you're a hater, and I don't want to do that. But getting back to Jaden Daniels, he was my MVP pick after the first 4 weeks of the year. He was number two at the midway point of the year, I believe. I had him eventually. I would say he was number five for me. He was behind Burrow, Jackson, Allen, and Saquon Barkley. And maybe that's in part because of that midseason lull. Kevin, I don't know if you remember, the last time we talked, we were talking about Cliff Kingsbury. We were talking about this idea that the Cliff Kingsbury offense slowed down in the second half. And then, as everyone thankfully knows, that did not happen. They got right back on track and were very good. Maybe that sort of mid-season lull where he did suffer, you know, the rib injury and he was playing through it and they weren't running him very often. And it seemed like he was, you know, not quite at his prior level of play. Maybe that hurt him a bit. Maybe if he'd been the guy from earlier in the season or at the end of the season for the entire year, I think he could have, you know, jumped ahead of Burrow, maybe ahead of Barkley, but, you know, in the top five for sure.
You know, it's funny, not to, you know, pick a fight here because you didn't mean to say this. You'd meant to say I go back to those games, and I was very adamant during those games, and I think you and I even talked about this the last time. They really didn't slow him down running-wise, and that's why, you know, I always felt like, you know, the first game back against the Bears, he ran it 8 times for 52 yards. They ran multiple designed runs. Against the Giants, he ran it 8 times, and I remember saying, if this guy is actually hurt, they are irresponsible in the way they are calling plays. And they said all along, he's not hurt. We wouldn't put him out there if he's hurt. He just wasn't getting the practice time, the full practice time in those first two games. Hell, the Giant game, which was his second game back, may have been his second or third best game of the season. And then they ran into two really good teams at the time, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia on the road. But anyway, the Cliff thing was you just laid it out so perfectly for people who kind of weren't paying attention to why the defenses and why the points per game and why the yards per game dropped at Texas Tech and at Arizona. There were a lot of reasons that had nothing to do with they had figured Cliff out. Your line about if they figured him out, why didn't they take the figuring out part and started at the beginning of the next season? Yeah,
right.
Of course. All right. Real quickly, Dan Quinn. Who's going to win Coach of the Year?
Oh boy, that's a good question. Dan Quinn.
Kevin O'Connell appears to be the favorite.
Pretty high up in the running. Yeah, I think what Kevin O'Connell did with Sam Darnold for the vast majority of the year is going to appeal to a lot of people. I'm honestly shocked Jim Harbaugh is not getting more consideration for how quickly he turned around the Chargers. But I do figure it will be Kevin O'Connell. My pick was Dan Campbell. Given all the injuries in Detroit, obviously we saw last week that they couldn't hold on at the end of the postseason. They were just down too many players. But, you know, I think Dan Quinn belongs in the discussion, especially if you could vote now. I mean, given what they've done in the postseason, given what they've done on fourth down in the postseason, how he stuck to his guns and how that's helped them win these past two games, I think you'd put Dan Quinn ahead of Kevin O'Connell.
All right. We'll leave on these two. Actually, I wanted to ask you about the AFC title game, too, real quickly. But how do you see Sunday playing out in Philly?
I see a game where the Eagles are winning at the line of scrimmage and the Commanders have to find ways around that. So, you know, that might mean the screen game has to be effective. It might mean, you know, you're reading defenders as opposed to taking them on one-on-one. Losing Sam Cosmi hurts a lot. I mean, Jalen Carter took over that game late against the Rams. He's the, you know, the Eagles have a very good defensive line, but the true difference maker, the true guy who one-on-one is going to keep you up at night is Jalen Carter. And he can be that kind of player. I think you're going to see a lot of attacking the middle of the field, attacking the safeties, attacking the linebackers, especially without Kobe Dean, their linebacker for the Eagles. And then for the defense, for the Commanders defense, I think it's going to be trouble. They have not slowed down Saquon Barkley really, relative to maybe some of the bigger games, yes, but nobody slowed down Saquon Barkley all year. It's going to be a game like last week's where you're sort of hanging on for dear life. You're seeing them move the ball consistently. And it's going to be a question of just how, you know, can they force a couple turnovers? Can they, you know, is Jalen Hurts 80%? Is he 90%? Do they have a passing game? And can they, again, force a turnover or two to kind of get the ball back to the offense?
So you see it as a game in which Washington kind of has to be in that plus turnover margin to win it?
I do. They don't have to get plus five. I mean, that was crazy last week, but certainly... Yeah. You know, if Washington's turning the ball over, it's tough to see them winning this game.
Real quickly, what's happened to Jalen Hurts? Injuries aside, what's happened to Jalen Hurts or just that passing offense?
Yeah, I just doesn't feel like there's a consistency to it. It doesn't feel like, you know, they haven't run as many RPOs this year from what I can see. And I think that was something they really were comfortable with and really relied upon. They haven't hit as many of the explosives, and there's been some, you know, little things here or there. You know, if they hit A.J. Brown for that long 50-yard completion, if he doesn't drop it last week, we're thinking differently about Jalen Hurts to some extent. I don't think he's been bad necessarily, but I just think as the year has gone on, whether he's been hurt, whether they just have been inconsistent with the pass pro, hasn't been greater than it's been in years past, just feels like they're, you know, he has been, there's been a lack of confidence in Jalen Hurts, and I wonder if that's extended to him as a quarterback as well.
All right, last one. Who do you like in the AFC Championship game and why?
Oh, gosh. I like the Chiefs. And again, it's the exact thing I said about Josh Allen earlier. Like, if you pick the Bills, I'm not going to be offended or think you're wrong in the slightest. It's just I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes. It's everyone's saying the same thing. Everyone wants to pick the Bills. Nobody wants to pick against the Chiefs. I do think they have some advantages in terms of their defense. Their defense is a little better than the Bills' defense. I think that the Chiefs, I would have liked to see them play better last week, but I do think the Bills, in the big picture, I just wonder if they have the consistency on defense to hold up. I just think the Chiefs have been so good at making plays when they need to on offense, on third down, in the red zone, late in games. I just think if it comes down to that, I think the Chiefs are going to pull it out.
Thanks, Bill, for doing this as always. Always enjoy the conversation. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend.
Yep. Bill Barnwell, everybody, at Bill Barnwell on X. When we come back, we'll do a quick Denton news, and then Clinton Portis will be our guest at 11:35.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Clinton Portis coming up in about 10 minutes. Denton, what do you got?
All right, let's start with a little bit of capital. Six in a row for the Caps. They beat the Kraken 3-0. Alex Ovechkin scored another goal. That's 875. He's 20 away from passing the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
Yep, 19 from tying, 20 away from breaking. And they've got 71 points, and they are running away right now in some ways. Well, certainly in the Eastern Conference with the number one seed, and they have a very good shot right now and are on track to win the President's Trophy as well. They're like the football team. They just don't lose. Just doesn't seem like they ever lose. And when they do lose, it seems like it's, you know, in overtime or in a shootout or something like that. But good for them. And Ovechkin's goal was an empty netter, I believe, correct?
Yes, it was an empty netter. He now has 22 on the year. That leads the team, but he's done it, Kevin, in 32 games.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
What's the pace? I could do the math quickly, but what's the pace? Is can he break it this year or not?
Yeah, he definitely can break it this year. You know, 32 divided by 22, or I guess I did it the wrong way. He's averaging .68 goals per game, so he can definitely break it this year. He'll need a couple of big 2-score games, you know, maybe a hat trick, but he can. It's definitely within reach now. You know, they're just a little over halfway through the season. He needs 20 more goals. So
yep, he definitely can do it.
Do it this year. All right, how about your Turtles? They go on the road. They crush Illinois, the 17th ranked Fighting Illini, 91-70. Juju Reese went for 27 points and 17 rebounds. Derek Queen went for 25 points. That was a big time win for the Turtles.
Yeah, I mean, let me just. Those Terps fans that are listening, you know that Illinois' big 7-foot-1 Croatian center was out. He was sick, and he was out of the game, and that was a big deal. But, man, I don't know if it would have mattered. Maryland really played start to finish probably their best game of the year, and that may have been Julian Reese's best individual performance of his career. They just had no answers for Maryland's inside game. Reese and Queen, 52 points, 23 rebounds. I think Maryland ended up with 62 points in the paint in the game, the most in the Big Ten this year. But they were just dominant. Illinois had no answer for them inside. But that would also, the dominance on offense would, you'd be mistaken if you thought that that's the only reason they won. They played excellent first half defense, I thought, that really kind of set the tone. They needed that one. They did not have a signature quad one win. You know, they were in the field, but just barely. And to get a win over the 17th ranked team on the road, quad one win for them, they needed it. They're at Indiana Sunday early before the championship games get underway. A win there would really go a long way towards sort of solidifying their position. Long way to go. They're not even halfway through the Big Ten schedule, but I can't tell you how much they actually needed that one. First road win of the year for them. All right, what's next?
All right, it is official. The Raiders are hiring Pete Carroll. It's a 3-year deal, according to most sources. So he's going to be the team's new head coach.
Well, you know, if you're looking for experienced and you're looking for a culture setter and builder and a leader, Pete Carroll's the guy. Dan Quinn may have not been the sexiest hire and may not have been, you know, the kind of hire that a lot of people wanted, because a lot of people wanted a real great offensive mind to go with the rookie quarterback. But that organization and our organization needed leadership and needed a total culture reset. And I don't know that Mark Davis is hiring Pete Carroll because of that. Sometimes I look at that dude and I'm not even sure what he's thinking. But I guarantee you that Josh Harris and Adam Peters and Mitch Rales and everybody else, they were looking for a leader and a culture resetter. And they got it in Quinn. And maybe, you know, Carroll can be that in Vegas. Different ownership group, different situation, but we'll see. Who's he going to hire as the OC?
I have no idea. I don't think I've seen any reports on who they're looking at.
All right. What else?
I got to figure he has somebody in mind. Speaking of head coaching jobs, one of the weirder scenarios that you will see probably since Josh McDaniels kind of ghosted the Indianapolis Colts. This was like an unghosting. He ghosted the Jags. Liam Cohen did in favor of going back to Tampa. They were going to make him the richest OC in the NFL. And then the Jaguars fired Trent Baalke, who is their general manager. This comes a couple of weeks after there was this really awkward moment on a Zoom where Shad Khan, sitting on a Zoom with Trent Baalke, was asked about Trent Baalke and said if the new coach wanted Trent Baalke fired, he would fire him. So that was weird. Liam Cohen clearly wanted Trent Baalke fired, so the Jags fire Baalke after Cohen says no, and then Cohen looks like he's going back, ghosting now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in favor of taking the head coaching job in Jacksonville. And a side nugget to this, Kevin, he would be leaving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which means Baker Mayfield would have a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He'd have a new offensive coordinator for the eighth time in his career. He's played 8 years.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, give him credit. I mean, he had Canales, you know, in his first year in Tampa, which clearly worked out. And Liam Cohen did an excellent job with Baker Mayfield. He'll get a new offensive coordinator there. This is good news for Trevor Lawrence, I think. I think it's good news for Trevor Lawrence. Liam Cohen, the kind of system, you know, you'll see a lot of, obviously, the Shanahan, Sean McVay influence. Although, in Tampa, they got away from it after they decided that the talent didn't fit what they were running early in the season. But interesting hire. All right. Anything else?
That's all we got for now. I mean, Jalen Hurts, full participant in practice. You kind of talked about that. Expectations that he is going to play. He might be listed as a full participant in practice. We'll see once we get to Sunday what his mobility actually looks like. But that's something just to keep an eye on for the game this weekend.
Yeah. You know, in some ways, I think they might throw the football better with Kenny Pickett. Seriously. If Kenny Pickett, if Jalen isn't 100%, I want him to play. I definitely want him to play. I think it's a big advantage for us. And look, this defense needs every advantage it can get. Clinton Portis will jump on with me next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com. Jumping on with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is 26. Clinton Portis is with us at the real C_Portis on X, one of the great running backs in the history of this franchise. I talked to you maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Can you believe they're here, one game away from the Super Bowl?
I can't, but I'm enjoying the ride. So let's get to the Super Bowl. No need to stop now. No need to settle for, oh, well, we overachieved and all this. You ain't got us this close. No need to let us down now.
You ever seen a player in his rookie year at quarterback like Jaden Daniels?
No, I haven't. You know, not just being a rookie, being able to see a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, period, to stay calm throughout the entire game, the adversity, just always even keel. You haven't seen a quarterback like that throughout the NFL, period. You can't find many of them.
You know, there's always this discussion, especially from people who aren't in the locker room, about, man, this team's on a roll. Man, this team's got swag. This team is feeling it. This team's confident. This team knows it can win. This team is greater than the sum of its parts. You played on that 05 team where you guys won 5 games in a row at the end of the year and went into the postseason, and until last Saturday night were the last team here that had won a divisional round playoff game. What's that feeling like? Is it real inside a locker room?
Well, I think the team comes together. And if you watch throughout the season, this team has been coming together, gelling together. Every week it was a different man stepping up to contribute. And now all of a sudden, everyone kind of feels, you know, if you look at the cornerback, Sanstreel, he played, is that his name? I said that correctly.
Yeah, Sanstreel.
Right?
You got it.
Okay. So if you look at him last week, he played lights out. You know, you look at the linebacker position, or you look at the wide receiver position, Diami is finally showing why we selected him. You know, he's been on fire. Terry has been on fire. Zach Ertz has been on fire. So it's just one man after the next. And I think when you're playing team ball, when you have a leader like you have in Daniels, who's kind of deflecting any of the attention, is always about the team instead of him being this huge, humongous superstar and bigger than everybody else. It's like, nah, we're one. Like, we're here, everybody is together, and that's been a beautiful thing. And then the city is behind it. You know, you start to go to the games, and it's a jersey of everybody out there. You know, you got the old school, the new school, the playmakers. Like, you got everything in the city, the energy that's in the city. The fans are back out, the support. You know, everywhere you go, you're starting to see Commanders and Redskins gear again. And people are like, I've been waiting forever, and this is our moment. You know, just the belief to see that. And then to see it from a fan perspective, like to stand as a fan and watch your team finally have some success and give you some ammunition. Like, fans really are involved. I see why people used to be frustrated, because fans are so involved in this game that, you know, you lose, your team lose, it carries. For a player, you know, hey, okay, that week is over. We weren't going to go undefeated in the NFL season, on to next week. But for a fan, it hurts. You got to wait until y'all play this team again, because you got a family member or a close person to you that's going to talk trash all year, and, you know, you just don't want to deal with it as a fan. As a player, you know, oh, it's on to the next. So seeing it from both perspectives, it's just like, man, this fan stuff will make you have a heart attack.
You know, as you're talking, yesterday I talked about, you know, one of the benefits of being a good team is you get real rivalries back. You know, for so long, we weren't really in the mix. Our fans got fired up for Dallas, Philly. You know, you've told me before that Philly was a bigger game for the players than even the Cowboys were. But because the team was down for so long, Cowboys-Eagles was the rivalry in the division. Eagles-Giants in Washington was an afterthought. And the fact that they are back and good and have a quarterback and could be good for a while, and they're playing at Philadelphia in the NFC title game, that's like what you were talking about. It's like the extra benefit that comes with playing in these big games, especially when you get a chance to play against your, you know, a team in your division. I know you're fired up that they're playing Philadelphia, aren't you?
Man, you know, I wanted this route. I thought going through Philly instead of going through Detroit was our route, and we get both of them. You know, I didn't see Detroit win. I didn't see us going into Detroit and pulling that off, and I said it, you know, I said it in public, and I took a lot of heat for it. But just as conversations that we've had, and as a fan, you have to remove your fandom for your team, and if you're betting, you bet your money on the winner.
But you don't have to apologize if you pick against them. Those are crazy people that have a problem with that.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying, I need to get this off my chest. It's not, I'm not apologizing for nothing. I just need to get it off my chest. As a fan, you know, we don't want to, of course, I'm going to be a Redskins fan. I'm going to be a Commanders fan. But if the Commanders win, I feel fine. I feel great. I didn't lose any money. I forget that money. But if they lose and let me down, as they have so many times before, well, I made money off of it.
You know what we call that? We call that the happiness hedge. That's a happiness hedge. Yeah, when you bet against your team and you win money, you're happy. But if they win and cost you money, it's okay.
Exactly. And that's what happened last week. So that's what happened last week. It's okay. I'm full-fledged, full throttle. This is one of those moments where you like, I hate to even publicly jump on the bandwagon. Like, do I want to be at the game? Do I want to watch with the family? Do I need to be at a watch party? Like, how turnt do I want to be? I went through every emotion. I booked a hotel room. I canceled it. I booked another one. I got these tickets. I'm looking for these things. Like, my flight in. I'm trying. Bro, this is crazy as a fan. Like, to be a fan and you going through it this way, it's crazy. You don't have this many emotions, highs and lows, in a week. One day I wake up, I'm like, boy, I'm ready to go and sit out here in this cold, and I'm ready to thug it out, and if the fans want some action, I'm with it. And then I'm thinking, man, this is going to be crazy. If we go out here and beat these people, we're going to have to fight our way out of the stadium. And, you know, like, it's just that perspective for everything that you get.
Well, what did you settle on? Are you going or not?
So I have a speaking engagement and I'm trying to fly in from there on Sunday, like Sunday morning. So I don't know if I'm going to make it in time, but everything is in place if I do.
Where would you sit? Are you going to sit amongst the Eagle fans?
See, that's the issue.
It's yeah, I know it is.
Sit because
you're recognizable.
Tickets. Exactly. Exactly. And I can't take no chain in here. I can't take no brass knuckles in here. It's like, where do I sit? What do I do? What do we do? You know, just as a fan, is like, do you want the distraction? Because being in Tampa and us taking over Tampa, it was.
So you were in Tampa. Like, I forgot to ask you. Were you in Tampa?
Second row, and these people was going crazy. Like, to sit amongst, I've never done this. I've never had the opportunity to, you know, to sit amongst the fans in the stadium of your team. I just never have. I walk through the stadium at home games and, you know, go to the suite and people waving and conversing, but not you just open to the public. I sat on the second row. Anybody and their mom can come up and talk to you. The other fans, everybody. It was just like one of those, I really think I like this. Like, I like this environment, but I would hate to be in Philly and somebody hit me in the back of the head with a snowball or a bottle or any of that because I'm here wearing a Redskins jersey right. And I don't get to enjoy the game, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I went back to the Vet was completely different than the Lynx. So I was at a game at the Vet, and I was smart enough not to wear colors, but I was cheering, and I don't think people were happy about it. And Washington won the game that I went to. But so were you in Detroit?
No, I missed Detroit. Okay. I got to go to Detroit tomorrow. So I was scheduled to go to Detroit already, and I tried to get everything changed to last weekend instead of this weekend. And now, you know, everybody is trying to get to Philly from Detroit because there's some other fans in Detroit as well. So it's been crazy. Like, my January 2025 has been crazy to me, including everything that the team is doing. This has been one of those crazy years. Like, I'm living out of a book bag and just kind of come as you go. Like, I don't know what's going on, but it feels good. It's enjoyable, and I'm happy I'm able to do it.
Clinton, are your sons excited about this or not?
That's the other issue. All of them want to go to the game. So tickets are $1,000 a walk. You know, it's like everybody want to go to the game. Not everybody, I want to go. We haven't seen this, and we need to, like, we've been fans and we've been enjoying it. I'm like, man, like, I can't go to the game, and the kids don't get to enjoy it, the fam don't get to come. Like, what do you do? Like, you know, I don't want to pay $1,000 per ticket for that's crazy.
Yeah, they're expensive, man. It's the most expensive get-in price for the NFC Championship game, apparently, in history.
It's not shocking. I can believe it.
Real quickly, back to Saturday night. I'm just curious what you think of Jahmyr Gibbs and why he didn't get the ball more.
I have no clue. That's when you out-coach yourself. Sometimes as coaches, you get in your bag and you kind of get away from what you should be doing. You know, I think Gibbs was a problem for us, and they took him out of the game, not us. They took him out of the game, and we're grateful of it. And you know, when you see guys or when you see coaches that's so hot, and all of a sudden, you know, Ben Johnson been turning down jobs for years, and you end on that note, and then you're out of there. You know, did he know he was leaving prior to the game? You know, like, you have all of those questions when you see that relationship end the way that it did. It's like, man, I could have rolled Gibbs and, you know, continue, or was I ready to be done? It's a lot to come into play. It's just one of those situations you have so much on your mind. That's why I don't think you should be able to talk to coaches and play with coaches why things are going on, because these kind of stories always transpire, right? Let that man finish his season off, and you all wait, you know? But 2 days, 3 days after they lose, he already hired in Chicago. That's crazy to me.
All right, let's talk about the game Sunday. We're talking to, of course, Clinton Portis. How do they beat the Eagles?
Well, I think you take Saquon out of the game. I would just have, you know.
How do you do that?
I would have Wagner go fire off on him. I would take my linebacker. I would take Wagner or Louvu. What is it?
Louvu.
I would have Wagner or Louvu and say, this is your assignment. You hit him every play. If it's in the backfield, you hit him. If he crosses line of scrimmage trying to run a route, you hit him. You just attack him at the line of scrimmage every play. That's your assignment. I don't care. Wherever he go, you go. And now we're going to play with everyone else. We're going to game plan with everyone else. And the next issue is, let's make sure Hurts don't hurt us on the ground. Make him put the ball in the air. Give us a chance. You know, let the weather conditions, let everything that you hope and dream to be in this position for, because this is the time of year. That ball is heavy. It feels like a brick coming. I don't care who catching it. It feels like a brick. We've seen Mark Andrews in the elements have trouble, you see? So let's make everyone execute on a high level outside of the guys who they want to beat us with. And then offensively, keep the ball moving. Everybody is stepping up. Everybody is making plays. You don't know who's going to hurt you or who's going to be the offensive MVP on our squad, because everybody is kind of contributing. B-Rob contributed last week. The week before, Deami even last week. You know, Terry, Ertz. Like, you have so many guys involved that you don't know where this ball is going. So continue that. You know, spread the ball around. Don't get locked in on anything. And just be physical. You know, last week we finally did better than we did in Tampa on short yardage and goal line. And then that fourth down mentality where you just going for it, you don't give a damn, keep it up. Like, you made me a believer of, oh, it's fourth and under 3, 4, 5, we going for it. Like, forget our kicker, let's go. We're not going to put this in the hands of the kicker and let the elements cause something to happen. We're going to leave our best 11 on the field and let them make plays.
Do you have any confidence that if Jalen Hurts has to throw the football for the Eagles to move it and to score, that they can do that?
Yeah, they got good players. They Brown and Smith.
I know they have good players, but they have at times really looked off. They've struggled to throw it.
Well, you know what you do? Make them throw it and put them in that struggle situation. So if you could get them afraid of doing that early, then now it changes the game plan, because you kind of dictate, hey, they got to run the ball. They got to give it to Saquon, or they got to, like, Hurts got to keep it. So if you could get them rattled early, instead of, don't let them get no little screen plays, no quick screens, just to get Brown going or get Smith going, and then all of a sudden things calm down. Let's rattle him. Let's hit these two early and often. Hit Hurts early and often. Hit Barkley all game. Every time he step out of the backfield, have somebody hit him. And as that game go on, you start looking for contact instead of assignment. Your eyes get away from your first read. Your eyes get away from man or zone, and you're just thinking about contact and avoiding contact, so it causes a problem.
You know, you were talking about contact in a different way there, but you were talking about, you know, contact and hitting Barkley. These games, and you never played in an AFC title game. You didn't play in one in Denver, right? No.
No.
But you played in playoff games. These games, really, sometimes it just comes down to the more physical team in the line of scrimmage, right?
Yeah, hands down, it comes down to the more physical team. I don't think you're going to have any quarterbacks this weekend throw for 350, you know, and they're going to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game still, but it's still not going to be 350. They're still not going to go out and throw for 350. You look at the lines, quarterbacks 225, you can get them minus 210 or so, you know?
Yeah.
So, obviously, the quarterbacks
are, you shouldn't be doing that.
Obviously, right. The quarterback's not going to be slinging the ball around, you know?
I don't want to encourage that.
As a fan. I'm just saying, as a fan, when you get into this, it's going to be slow play. You're not trying to run it up. You know, in the Dome last week, we put up a lot of points, but there was no elements. You know, this week, you can't go and expect us to have a shootout in Philly. Like, the elements going to play a part. The
nice day, though.
The atmosphere.
Nice day. 38 degrees, cloudy.
Well, if you get that, you might have a, but being outside and getting hit, I'm telling you, for a fan, when you're watching TV, that 38 degrees, when you're starting to get hit or your feet getting stepped on or that ball hits your hands, it changes.
All right. Prediction.
Us, we just need to win by 1 point. Like, I really believe that when you get to this point, and your team is on this run, just the energy, the build up, everything that you've been doing to stay calm, cool, and collective as an underachiever, that mentality, the underdog mentality, to just go out, play, and enjoy the game. If you look at those guys, that's what they've been doing, enjoying the game as a team, offensively, defensively. It reminds me of the 05 team where everybody was bonding, everybody was together, everybody high-fiving and happy for the next guy or running to find a block for the next guy or whatever it took. Everyone had that mentality, and I think that's what these guys have.
All right. I'll see you in New Orleans, and good luck getting to Philly. Hey, appreciate you doing this, as always.
Can't wait. Dinner on me.
We'll split it, but it'll be a large group. So we'll figure it out when we get there. But thanks. It's good to talk to you as always.
All right. Peace out.
Peace out. All right. Up next, who are the top five players in this game, not counting the quarterbacks, or at least one of the quarterbacks? Denton and I will have our top five non-QBs in this game when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and the Team980.com.